It is 8:09 in the morning. You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
And I am Gina Madrid.
And we're going to turn now to a giant victory for community activists that is proving to be a massive source of headaches for attorneys working with detained immigrants. Some months ago came the culmination of a campaign to get the Contra Costa County Sheriff to stop working with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. David O. Livingston had been effectively renting out rooms in the West County Detention Facility for use by ICE, who was holding people pending court appearances in San Francisco. He has pulled out of that contract, announced that the last detainee was transferred out of that facility on Thursday of last week. But many of the people who were held there who are still awaiting court dates have been transferred as far away as Colorado or Washington State, which has cut them off from supportive family members, in many cases their attorneys, and thrown into question where their legal proceedings are going to move forward and on what timeline. This is a problem that was not lost on people when the deal was initially worked out. When we did coverage of that victory, we spoke to Contra Costa County Supervisor John Joya, who had helped broker it. They were trying to make arrangements to get legal support to people in detention. He joins us on phone right now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Brian and Gina. Thanks for having me. And, you know, you're absolutely right. This was a victory for so many community activists who spoke out on this issue, yet also has a problematic side in really the lives of those who were transferred. So one of these tough issues.
Well, we're going to talk about what specifically those challenges are, because with us in studio is Francisco Ugarte. He's an immigration attorney with the San Francisco Public Defender's Office, which, with funding from San Francisco City Government, has taken immigration defense cases that originate in San Francisco. Francisco, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me.
Tell me what your clients are going through right now who had been at West County.
Well, I think when you look at, you know, immigration detention and abomination that it is, you have to look at it from the perspective of the immigrant detainee. Many folks have been inside for about 6 months. These are pretrial detainees. No court decision has been made about whether they should have lawful status or not. And each of the people that we've represented at West County that were transferred out have established attorney-client relationships. In many cases, have been to two or three hearings, have a judge assigned to them, have applications for relief from removal pending. Some have already adjudicated motions, like motions to suppress evidence because they were arrested illegally, motions to terminate proceedings because the court did not properly charge the detainee with being removable. And in the middle of those proceedings, on the morning of August 17th, without notice to the detainee or the lawyer, a law enforcement agent wakes them up and says, "You're being transferred." And those individuals were transferred to either Tacoma, Washington, or Aurora, Colorado. And suddenly, an attorney doesn't have their client. Essentially, if the government removed a party from a legal proceeding, and now those individuals are in Colorado, we can't represent individuals in immigration courts in Colorado. And so it's unclear what's going to happen to their case. We filed a federal court lawsuit in the Northern District of California to stop this from happening, because what this is a deprivation of the right to counsel. And quite frankly, as an attorney who's practiced a fair amount of time, not that long, I've never contemplated or certainly ever seen a situation like this where a government can simply remove a party from legal proceedings, strip that person of their lawyer, and stop proceedings midstream, and then just restart proceedings somewhere else.
I imagine if we had an ICE representative in the room with us, they would say, "Well, what do you want? You didn't want immigrant detainees held in the West County Jail in Richmond. That contract got terminated. Wasn't our choice. We got to put people somewhere."
Well, ICE is a massive government agency that detains hundreds of thousands of people each year. They have the responsibility, if they're going to detain individuals, to detain them where constitutional due process is assured. The county sheriff decided to terminate the contract. It's not like ICE couldn't take steps to ameliorate that problem by working on bed space issues or even release, most importantly, releasing people on alternatives to detention. Again, ICE doesn't have to detain these individuals. They can easily place them on alternatives to detention, electronic monitoring, which in and of itself is very, you know, if not abusive, a challenging kind of supervision provision. But ICE has a lot of capability to ameliorate whatever effects of this closure are. And they've essentially decided, well, we're just going to transfer people out of state because we can, even though the transfer violates due process. So there is a host of things that ICE could have done that it didn't do. There are open beds available at various detention facilities in Northern California. I mean, the reality is ICE doesn't put enough emphasis on ancillary services to detention. It's virtually impossible to find a detainee when they are detained. And when you do locate them, ICE doesn't give information about the client unless you have an alien registration number. It's a really secretive agency in this vast network of detention facilities. But if you detain someone, people are entitled to due process, constitutional due process, which requires right to an attorney and notice and opportunity to be heard and a right to present evidence. There's no right to appointed counsel for individuals. That means there's no real public defender, although we are working on that in Northern California. But it's beyond contemplation that a government agency can simply go into court, remove a party, send them out of state, strip them of an attorney, and say that's okay. It's not okay.
Do you think it's retaliation?
You know, I can't get in the head of ICE, but there's no doubt that this is an agency that doesn't like due process. The President of the United States has talked about how he was shocked that immigrants have a right to an attorney. You know, we're building our capacity. Our office has about 140 clients who are detained. We have 8 attorneys. The nonprofits in the San Francisco Bay Area have an intricate web of lawyers that are capable of providing legal services for folks. So certainly it wouldn't be shocking if the government made a strategic decision to move people out of Northern California where there are robust services for non-citizens. After all, San Francisco is a city with 40% non-citizen or foreign-born population. So it's entirely possible. We don't have proof, but right now what we have to focus on are the fundamental due process rights of the detainees who are now in Colorado.
Supervisor John Joy, you just heard what lawyers representing the immigrants who had been housed in your county's jail are going through right now. When you and I spoke about the decision to end the Contra Costa Sheriff's contract with ICE, you talked about making resources available to those detainees to avoid exactly this set of circumstances. Your Board of Supervisors did release several million dollars in funding to backfill for the losses the sheriff would take for ending that contract. What did you make available to the detainees?
So the program that we put into effect back in early March, Stand Together Contra Costa, has been designed to be a rapid response program to provide legal representation to folks at risk of deportation. So when the sheriff announced his decision to close the facility, ICE could have done two things. And a number of us publicly called on ICE to do this, is one, either release those individuals held at West County Detention Facility that can be released on a bond, and two, to quicken up the calendar of deportation cases in San Francisco and get those cases resolved, get the immigration hearing cases resolved before any individuals are transferred out. Of course, the decision not to do those things rests with ICE. And that's exactly, however, what we've been trying to protect our county immigrant community from, is ICE's excesses, which is why we established this program to provide free, no-cost, deportation, to those at risk of deportation, and to really, the other goal here is to reestablish trust between immigrant communities and local government and local law enforcement. We provide health services and social services to county residents. 25% of those county residents are foreign-born. And we provide health services to immigrants regardless of, to individuals regardless of their immigration status. So we want to protect our immigrant families in Contra Costa. And
having I think we're drifting a little bit off the topic of the fate of the people who had been held in your county jail.
But I was just wanting to point out that there was broken trust that immigrant families in Contra Costa were not coming in for health and social service needs that they were entitled to because of this contract, because of the broken trust and the view that there was some cooperation between the sheriff's department. So to break that, to rebuild that trust, I think it was overall a good step for Contra Costa to not be the only county in the San Francisco Bay Area to have such a facility. No other county had that. Saying that, so we had Stand Together Contra Costa. There's been about, now we don't know how many of these were made by individuals from within the facility, but since the program started in March, there have been almost 1,400 total calls to the hotline for information and assistance, and there were almost 1,000 legal consultations in Contra Costa. We don't know how many of those were individuals within the facility. Most of them most likely were individuals concerned about their own situation who lived in immigrants who lived in Contra Costa. And those, some of those attorneys want a few bond hearings. There's a few cases where individuals were released and were able to be reunited with their families. Again, we all called on ICE to take more time to resolve those cases in San Francisco, or to release, however.
And when you say you called on ICE, did you kind of call out into the ether, or did you actually have direct communication with ICE over these issues?
I think there were a coalition of community leaders and public officials who colonized, including at the news release, at the press conference where the announcement occurred. I then spoke to the sheriff as to any communications he may have had with ICE, and his communication was that the belief that ICE was going to take some more time. I publicly called on that directly at the announcement, and ICE monitored and listened to that announcement. We know that. So unfortunately, ICE did not listen to local calls to be more humane in how they address this situation with those in the facility.
It sounds odd that a federal agency with whom your county had a written contract is doing talks with you about the status of that contract by monitoring your press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me there wasn't any more substantive communication about the status of those detainees than you calling a press conference and knowing they were listening in?
I spoke personally with the sheriff, who had indicated that as they were in contact with ICE to wind down that contract, that his department had discussions with ICE about how long it would take for them to transfer them out. And there was belief that this would happen over time, and that there was a belief that some cases would occur or be processed quicker in San Francisco. But look, I think all of us know that ICE doesn't listen to local communities. And so, frankly, ICE was going to do what it was going to do, and that's exactly why we're trying to protect our own county residents from ICE's actions with our program to provide free legal representation to help people so that they are not deported by these practices.
That's the voice of John Joy. He's a supervisor representing District 1 in Contra Costa County, which has just ended its contract with ICE to house ICE detainees in their West County jail in Richmond. The status of the people who had been housed in that jail is the topic of our conversation for this segment. Also with us in studio, Francisco Ugarte. He's an immigration attorney with the San Francisco Public Defender's Office. He is and has been representing some of those people. So let's put your two perspectives on what happened together on a timeline here. Did you see any significant change in how ICE was handling your clients immediately after the announcement that the contract was being canceled?
It's hard to say from a broad perspective, because as Supervisor Joya says, ICE doesn't really talk to us about what its plans are. They're a transparent agent. They don't really feel like they have to. They're not accountable to local governments. And if they were, there'd be quite a session, because they've done so much harm to local communities. And I also want to make something very clear. We are opposed to immigration detention, period. This was a victory. It is getting politically virtually impossible for counties to justify holding immigrant detainees for deportation, because it just is antithetical to who we are as a people and as a state and as a country. And so that's a really positive development. The reality, though, is that ICE is detaining people. They are deporting people, and we have to take steps to protect individuals' due process rights. There is no doubt in my mind that the higher levels of ICE want to get people out of Northern California, because we, like I said before, we are one of two places in the entire country that has a relatively robust system of representation for detainees. Our office has represented about 140 people in the last year and a half when we initiated our removal defense program, and about 60 to 70% of those people that we've represented are not out of custody. Because they were either released on bond or they won their cases. So,
and overall, the judges in San Francisco have the reputation of being much more inclined to grant asylum than in other parts of the country.
Well, the judges in San Francisco have a reputation of being fair. And judges in throughout the country in immigration, I mean, some judges have a 99% asylum denial rate. Judges in that you hear these horror stories in Texas or even San Diego or Georgia. And so we have fairness. I mean, it's not like a bowl of cherries there. There are some very challenging judges in very difficult situations. One of the things that we're trying to do is aggressively litigate detainee cases. And so when the supervisor says speed up removal cases, you know, sometimes attorneys, we need time to put on evidence, to argue our case. Sometimes cases are a little bit easier. We know where the judges are going to go. But other times we need to build a record, and that takes a certain amount of time. One of the main problems in immigration courts right now is that Sessions has ordered judges to finish cases within a certain amount of time, to adjudicate motions in a certain amount of time, to withhold bond in certain cases, to stop granting continuances. And that prevents us from effectively litigating a case. These are not like traffic court cases. These are cases involving a biography of someone, involving whether a particular situation will merit asylum. Asylum is a complicated legal, we have expert witnesses, so these are tough cases. In terms of when the decision was made, whether people were being treated differently, you could tell ICE was trying to take steps to move people around. Many of clients at West County of ours at the Public Defender's Office were transferred to Yuba Detention Center in Marysville and Mesa Verde, which is a for-profit detention center in Bakersfield, all within the Northern California jurisdiction. But, you know, we weren't at the table, certainly, as to deciding how things are being done. And the detainees, of course, have no, they're treated so disrespectfully. They're treated like animals, really, as if they have no license whatsoever. And so the decision, they're not given notice that they're going to be transferred. They're just transferred.
So Francisco Ugarte, just recapping because we're short on time, sounds like your clients would be out on bond. It's not a question of where they're detained.
they each deserve to be out on bond. Yes.
Okay. And I'll let you wrap up, Supervisor Gioia. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make one comment. I think what's important to also look at is that the thousands of people who called for the end to this contract and to stop detaining individuals in that facility, I think want to be part of a larger national movement to change the policies of ICE. And when we get local wins like this, and I want to acknowledge that there have been some individual impacts on those detained, the goal is to build the momentum to change the policies nationally and to have victories across the United States that ultimately change the outcome of elections. And if elections matter, and when people feel empowered to be successful at local action, it empowers them to make national change, to change elections and change the president and change the policies of ICE so that this doesn't happen, and that all of those negative issues that Mr. Garty has referred to, that we change the policies of ICE and we change the policies of the federal government. So I think that's the power of people making change across the country. So I think that's the silver lining in all of this, and that we have to remain hopeful that this action will lead to that.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining us to follow up on the status of the people who had been housed in the West County Detention Facility. On the phone, you heard the voice of Supervisor John Gioia, represents Contra Costa County District 1 on the County Board of Supervisors, one of the people involved in brokering the agreement that got the Contra Costa County Sheriff out of its contract with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. With us in studio, Francisco Ugarte, immigration attorney with the San Francisco Public Defender's Office. He has been representing and is still, as far as he knows, representing people who had been housed in the West County Detention Facility, many of whom have been transferred out of state.